bottom of Lamed Hey Beis, a few lines up. According to Bryce of Tanur Rabbanon, it's 1, 2, 3, 7 lines from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanon. Yachol Yotzei Adam Yidei Chavasa Bevel, Shalun Niskan. Bryce has a Havmina, perhaps one would be Yotzei Matzah eating Tevel. That wasn't fixed. Mara says, what do you mean? Kol Tevel Nami Lo Niskan. Every Tevel, that's a definition of Tevel. Tevel means that the farmer took fruit, collected the fruit together, and it's usher to eat because you haven't taken truma and meiser. So that's the definition of teva, lo niskan. It was never fixed.
And after you give the meiser and truma, it's not teva anymore?
Exactly. So when you remove truma, exactly. Chulin. So again, the Gemara says, kol tevel nami ha lo niskan. Every tevel is defined by lo niskan. What's the price adding by dafka tevel that wasn't fixed? So ella betevel shlo niskan kol tzarcho. What it means to say is that tevel wasn't completely metukan. It was a little bit fixed, but not entirely. Meaning shenotla mimenu chuma gedola, that you had the pile of fruit and you gave chuma gedola, the first set of chuma, to the kohen. Lo notla mimenu chumas meiser, but you didn't give the chumas meiser, which we said was the after you give it to the levi, the meiser. Then the levi takes another meiser from his meiser and gives that to a kohen. That's chumas meiser. So it's a case where Chumah Gedolah was given to the Kohen, but not Chumah Meiser. And even though that's partially fixed, one might think maybe you would be Yotzei, since it's partially fixed. Or it's a case of Meiser Rishon was given, Velo Meiser Sheni. Meiser Rishon is, again, the tenth that's given to the Levi. Meiser Sheni is what's given, what's taken, removed, another tenth, which you have to take to Yishalayim to eat. So maybe it's a case where you took Meiser Rishon and gave it to the Levi, but didn't take Meiser Sheni. Vafilu Meiser Ani, maybe it's even a case where you didn't give Meiser Ani, which Meiser Ani was the years that you didn't give Meiser Sheni. It's between the 6 years of Shemitah, it's different years you do different things. So maybe sometimes you give Meiser Ani instead of Meiser Sheni. Meiser Ani is where you give a tenth to the poor, but not, you don't take it to Yishalayim. And Meiser Ani has no Kedusha. Meiser Sheni has Kedusha, you have to eat it in Yishalayim. Meiser Ani has zero Kedusha, you just have to give it to the Ani. So a person might think, maybe you're Yotzei in any of these types of cases, since you partially fix the Meiser.
Truma is 2%?
Truma is, again, in the Torah, there's no real shear you have to give, but the Chachamim advise 2%. Meiser, the Torah says you have to give 10%.
So Truma for coin called Truma Gedola?
Yes. So the Gemara says, so again,
even though the Levi gets 10%,
even though the Levi gets 10%,
the Meiser,
right?
So it's bigger than the Truma, but you call it the Truma Gedola.
Right, exactly. So Tam Alom, the Gemara says, Lo so chalav chametz, don't eat chametz, meaning, who is Yotzei, which type of matzah are you Yotzei? Me, Isur Mishim Baal Tochel of Chametz, only something that could potentially be Asur in Chametz, a type of grain, type of bread that might be Asur in Chametz, Yotzei Zeh, She'en Isur Mishim Baal Tochel Chametz, El Mishim Baal Tochel Tevel. So these types of cases are not, there's no Isur Chametz in these cases, these are all Isur Tevels. Because you didn't completely fix the pile of fruit, there's an Isur Tevel. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Isur de Chametz Lehechan Azla. I have a piece of, I have chametz that I didn't take meiser. Why does the Gemara say that there's only an Isser Tevel, but there's no Isser chametz? By me not taking meiser makes this thing not chametz, it makes it only an Isser Tevel? So again, the Brisa says, the only type of matzah you yotzei is something that has potential to only be Isser chametz. Something that has a different Isser attached to it, you cannot be yotzei that for matzah. So the Brisa again sounds like that there's only an Isser Tevel, but there's no Isser chametz. Why are grains exempt from chametz if there's another isser involved there? I don't understand. Why can't you have two isserim? Can't you have an isser chametz and an isser tevel? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes ha-mani, Rabbi Shimon he damar ein isser chalal isser. Rabbi Shimon is the opinion who says one isser cannot fall on top of another isser. You can only have one isser at a time. Once you have one isser, in this case, I have fruit like grains I collected together. There's an isser tevel because I didn't give my isser, I didn't give truma yet. Now it turns into chametz. That's its potential to turn to chametz. The iser chametz cannot be chal on this object because there already is another iser, namely that of tevel.
How it become chametz?
It has to be a grain that can potentially turn into chametz. That was the whole back and forth from the previous Gemara, is that only the grains that has the potential to turn to chametz can be used for matzah. Let's say, but orez, rice, which cannot turn to chametz according to most, so they can't be used for matzah. You have to have that ability, the potential to turn into chametz. But something like this, let's say I have grains, which is already asur and tevel, let's say I were to make it into chametz, it wouldn't be chametz. Because since there's already an existing iser, namely that of tevel, it can't turn into chametz. So before we bring the Braisa to bring the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, where the bottom line of Laman Hamad Beis, so the Rishonim all ask the following question. Why do you need a Pasuk? Why do you need the Pasuk to exclude that Tevel cannot be used for Matzah? We have a concept of Mitzvah Babi Aveira. You cannot use an Aveira for the purpose of a Mitzvah. So here I have an Isser Tevel. How could I think to use an Isser Tevel for the purpose of the Mitzvah of Matzah? So the Gemara brings a Pasuk to exclude it, because you have to have something that's only Asur and Chametz, nothing else. But we have another concept, Mitzvah Babi Aveira. You can't use an Aveira for a Mitzvah.
It's the Aveira here didn't cause the Mitzvah, didn't trigger the fact of Mitzvah. If you would have taken away the Trumar and the Meiser, the Vaitor could be Chametz. The Chametz isn't a Totsah, the fact that it's Tevel.
Exactly. So that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Paris. That's the answer he gives. The only time we apply that rule is if the Isser, as you said, gives you the opportunity to perform the Mitzvah. So let's say Lulav HaGazov, the classic case, you stole the Lulav, that allowed you the opportunity to perform the Mitzvah of a Lulav. But if it's a case where there happens to be an Isser, nothing to do with a Mitzvah, it happens to be an Isser on this, there's an Isser Tevel here, and then I happen to use it for a Mitzvah, that's not viewed as a clash between the two. It's only if there was an Isser that allowed me to do the Mitzvah. But Isser Tevel has nothing to do with allowing me to perform the Mitzvah of Matzah. That's Rabbeinu Peretz's answer. Others give answers that you only apply the Isser Mitzvah Babi Avera when it comes to Karbanos. And look at the Gemara's in Sukkah, the source is in the context of Karbanos, whereby Karbanos are supposed to come be Meratzah, to appease a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Any mitzvah like Karbanos that comes to Leratzos, then you cannot use an Aveira. So Dal Minim as well. Dal Minim come Leratzos, Ba Leratzos, says the Gemara in Tainus. That since it comes to appease a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a form of Tefillah, you can't use that for an Aveira. But other mitzvahs that the intentions, the goals are not to appease a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Hanami you're allowed to use an Aveira. So here the Mitzvah of Chametz has nothing to do with appeasing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't fall under the category Mitzvah Babi Aveira. Okay, fine. And there are a number of other answers, but we'll leave it with that. And now the Gemara, the last line, Laman Hamad Beis, turning over to the page. Where's the opinion? Where do you find the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that says, Ein Isser Chal Isser Detani Rabbi Shimon Omer? Ha'ochel nevela b'yom ha'kippurim potter. If you eat nevela in Yom Kippur, you're exempt from the Isser of Yom Kippur. Because, of course, there's an Isser to eat Yom Kippur. There's an Isser to eat nevela. So I have nevela. So let's look at Rashi, top line. Ha'ochel nevela b'yom ha'kippurim shogeg potter michatas. You don't have to bring a carbon. The ain Isser Yom HaKippurim Chal al Isser Nevela, even though Yom Kippur, of course, is much more stringent. There's a chiv kares for eating a Yom Kippur. And in Nevela, simply a lav. Still, the kares does not fall on top of the Isser Nevela. Vim Bobayom Nisnavla, let's say on that day. So, let's say I had a Nevela that died Erev Yom Kippur. It wasn't shechted properly. It died or was shechted improperly. So now it's a Nevela Erev Yom Tif. So there has an Isser Nevela. Now Yom Kippur comes in. So all foods now, even mutter foods, is an isser to eat on Yom Kippur. That isser of Yom Kippur, eating on Yom Kippur, does not chal on the isser nevela.
When you say nevela, so it's a kosher be'emar, it wasn't shchat, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not tarif.
Right. A treif is something where the animal inherently has a problem. There's a mum, it can't breathe properly, it has something damaged. That's a treif. Even a live animal,
so
potentially.
A what?
Chatul. Chatul is a cat. No,
yeah.
Right.
What is that in regards to?
Oh, it's said behemoth tamea. So I have something that's aser before Yom Kippur. It's a nevela. There's an iser on the nevela. Then Yom Kippur comes. The iser Yom Kippur does not chal in the nevela. So Rashi says, what happens? Let's say that it becomes a nevela on Yom Kippur itself. It came into Yontif mutter to eat. It wasn't a nevela yet. So what happens then? So Rashi says, two lines down in that Rashi we were reading, vimbo bayom nislava. That day it died. So what happens? Afil hachi ha'isa asura kodim Yom HaKippurim mishum Eiver Menachai. It already was asur Erev Yom Kippur, because Eiver Menachai, a live animal, is also asur to eat. As long as it wasn't shechted, it has an isur Eiver Menachai. So that Eiver Menachai comes into Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the isur Yom Kippur doesn't fall on top of the Eiver Menachai. It dies in Yom Kippur. The Eiver Menachai just transfers to another isur Nevela. There's never a moment where there was no, it was available for the isur Yom Kippur to be chal.
An Eiver Menachai is any live animal, Eiver Menachai?
Mm-hmm. It's a larger discussion. We'll look over in Tosos who argues. This is Machlokas Rashi Tosos here. Also appears right in the beginning of Chulin. It's a larger discussion, yeah.
I would have thought Rashi would say there that by Yom HaKippurim, the animal, so prior to becoming Nevela, it's not food. So Yom HaKippurim can't be chal on it because it's not food. Nevela comes, Bebasach, Nevela either comes before or Bebasachas with Yom HaKippurim, because Nevela is what enables it to first become food. It becomes food at the moment of death.
Why is that? It's not food. Why is food only defined by death?
I mean, is this food? A live animal?
No, this is an edible.
Is a live animal edible?
I don't see why it's any different than the second after an animal dies, in terms of the physical features of it, it's still probably the same, probably warm and quite raw.
Eat a goldfish.
Everyone dies alive.
I still think even, I think it's still, it's just as edible right before death and right after death, I would imagine.
Goises? Not goises, mefarkeses?
Yeah, what about that?
That's the status?
The status of mefarkes is just when after you shech the animal's just like shaking around, moving around a lot.
Yeah.
So.
But Ibn Chayyim, would that be an example of what he's trying to do?
He thought that it's more posh. It's a Ibn Chayyim, who's going to eat a live animal, it's not considered food yet until it actually dies, then it's more edible. But I'm not sure, the food, nothing changes about the actual meat. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's perhaps easier to eat a dead animal than a live animal in terms of catching, but. So I don't think anything changes. Now, so the Isser, again, Erev Yom Kippur, according to Rashi, was also because of Ibn Chayyim. On Shabbos it dies, it turns into Isser Nevela. There's never a moment in time where the Isser Yom Kippur could fall on this meat. But Tosfos argues, Tosfos writes, Ha'ochel Nevela b'yom HaKippurim, the top Tosfos, Perish HaKuntris, Afil Nishlabel b'yom HaKippurim, Lochayla le Isser Yom HaKippurim, Deharehu Ha've Allah Isser Ibn Chayyim. That's the opinion of Rashi. V'kashalari, Dehoki Poka Isser Ibn Chayyim, Yochel Allah Isser Yom HaKippurim. That's your question. Not that it wasn't Rabbi Melechia, but still, once Abram Nachai leaves, so now this animal is dead, well, you have two Yisurim coming at the same moment. Abram Nachai leaves, and now there's Nevela and Yom Kippur, so why do we say Nevela Chal on this animal as opposed to Yom Kippur? He agrees, when both Yisurim fall at the same time, they're both going to be relevant. It's only when one comes before the other one, the second one won't be Chal. So Abram Nachai, why do we say Abram Nachai quickly transfers into Nevela? So Tosfos gives a different perspective. Seems like the same thing at first glance, but it's really something different. He says, "V'hiu yesh lomar, afilu nislabla b'yom HaKippurim, even if it dies in Yom Kippur, lo chayel le iser Yom HaKippurim, de iser she'ein zavuach havabe, nami meikara v'akati l'pokimine." He creates this new iser of being not shechted. It's not shechted, not Avram and Achai. It's not shechted. Any animal that's not shechted is an iser. So it wasn't shechted before Yom Kippur when it was alive, and now that it dies, it's still not shechted. So the Isser doesn't change. It's the same Isser throughout the way. And again, this is a Tosa says the same thing in Chulin, I believe. And it's a larger discussion. It's talking more about how you understand Shechita. It also might be relevant how to understand Avram and Achai. The relationship between Avram and Achai and Nevela, are those really two different Yisurim, or they're very relevant? They're very similar.
Is it Kim Darabin or not?
Kim Darabin, you said?
Yeah.
No, we're not talking about Kim Darabin here. We're more concerned with whether the Isser is even Chal. Before you even violate the Isser, before you violate the Isurim here, is there an even Isser to talk about? Kim Levit Rabbinay is, let's say there are two Isurim. The question is, are you Chayv Onshin, the punishments of both Isurim or not? Some say you're not even over the second Isser, but both Isurim and Kim Levit Rabbinay are generally relevant. Here, the second one might not even be relevant. Ain Isser Chal Isser we're discussing now.
Like, one is Karis and one is Alav, that's why?
One's Karis. No, the reason why, because one came before the other one.
It's not simultaneous.
Exactly. Says the Gemara now, Ravina, Omar. So we want to say, who's the opinion of this Bryce we said above? Why can you not be Yotze Tevel for Matzah? Because, based on the Pasuk, you can only have something that has potential to be Aser Chametz, but no other Isser. So where was the problem? Why can't you have both? Why can't you have an Isser Tevel and also something that has the potential of Isser Chametz if you were to make it into Chametz? The Gemara says, because ain't Isser Chal Isser, only one Isser allows at a time. Comes along Ravina, Amar, Afilu Tema Rabbanan, even if you hold like Rabbanan, who allow Isser Chal Isser, Mi She Isur Mishum Baal Tocha Chametz Bilvad, Yatsa She Ain Isur Mishum Baal Tocha Chametz Bilvad, El Af Mishum Baal Tocha Tevel. Meaning that the Chametz say that, of course, if you have something that's tevel, I've got grains, I've wheat here that's tevel, and you make it into chametz, of course it's going to be aser and chametz as well. The Brisa said, you're only yotzei matz in something that only has one iser attached to it, the potential of the iser chametz. But something that has two isurim, tevel and chametz, that's not allowed. The Gemara found that to be problematic, so it says, midi bilvad ksiv? Does the Pasuk say anywhere bilvad? Does it say has to only be over chametz only? No, the Pasuk says something that has an iser chametz attached to it, something that has an iser chametz attached to it, that you're allowed to use for matzah. Something that doesn't, you can't. The Gemara doesn't like this shot of Ravina, rejects it, and therefore says, Ela mechaversa kidei Rav Sheshes. Therefore, we revert back to the first explanation of Rav Sheshes, that the Rabbi Shimon, who holds Einis Achal Isser, is the author of that brisa. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanon, Yochel Yotze Adam Yidei Chavasu B'Maisa Sheni B'Yushalayim. One might think, you can be Yotze Matzah using Maisa Sheni, which was again the tenth that they took from the fruit to bring to eat in Yushalayim. One might think you could be Yotze. Tamalomo lechem oni, you need something that is, what does lechem oni mean? Masha ne'echel ba'aninus, yotzezesh ne'echel ba'aninus. So they take the I and switch it with the aleph, have lashon aninus, which is the status of a person who's sad, who is, had a mace, literally, who's had a mace and hasn't been buried just yet. So again, yotzezesh ne'echel ba'aninus, el besimcha divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Because when it comes to ma'aseh sheni, you have to eat ma'aseh sheni in the state of simcha, not in the state of aninus. And therefore, you cannot be yotzeh, because the pasuk says, lechem oni, and something that you have to be eaten in the status of aninus. But since lechem of ma'aseh sheni cannot be eaten in the status of being of aninus, you're not yotzeh your mitzvah. And Rashi quotes the pasuk for a second. Sorry, how do you see this? That ma'aseh sheni cannot be eaten in the state of aninus. It says Rashi, mishenechel baninus, shemutel le'ochel kishu'onin. Not that it has to be eaten in the state of aninus, but it can be eaten in the state of aninus. Darish bei lechem oni with an aleph. U'maiser sheni eno nechel baninus tichsiv lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. When it comes to vidur maiser, when you come to bring maiser sheni, you have this whole declaration of things that you did right and you did not do wrong. So it says, I did not eat in the state of oni, I didn't eat it when I was sad. Since you can't eat it when the state of aninus, maiser sheni is removed from this mitzvah matzah. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva omer mitzvahs matzahs matzahs riba. Matzahs comes to include many things, and therefore it seems that maybe you should be yotzeh with maiser sheni. So imkein ma'atam olam alechem oni. If Rabbi Kiva allows you to be yotzeh with maiser sheni, so he's clearly not understanding lechem oni to mean lechem oni with an aleph. He allows you to be yotzei with ma'aser sheni, even though you can't be eaten in aninus. So how does he understand lechem oni? Prat le'isa sheli nilosha b'yayin v'shemen v'dvash, to exclude the ma'aser, to exclude matzah ashira, a rich man's bread, as opposed to a poor man's bread, when it has the oil or wine or honey, makes it a very rich type of bread. That's what's excluded. That you can't use. So the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Kiva, miksiv lechem oni, oniksiv. If you read, not how you read it, but how it's written. You look in the Torah, without vowels, it's written without the vav, ayin nun yud, which you would recite it as oni, as a poor person. That's that way it's written. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, mi krinan oni, do you read it as oni? Onin krinan, that you read it as oni, even though it's missing the vav, it's read as oni. So does it go based on the Kri? Does it go based on the Ksiv? Rabbi Kiva goes based on the Ksiv. The Ksiv is Ani. Rabbi Yosef Aglili goes based on the Kri, the way it's read, which is Oni. Rabbi Kiva, hide their Krinim Bei Oni. So Rabbi Kiva still has to address, why do we read it as Oni? If the real word is supposed to be Lechem Ani, a poor man's bread, why do we actually read it as Oni? Kiddush Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. Meaning, not Oni with an Aleph. You don't have to switch the Ayin with the Aleph. Oni means to answer or say. That a bread that you say words upon. Which words do you say upon the bread? Says Rashi, She'onin Alav Dvarim She'gomrim Alav Esa Halel V'omrim Alav Haggadah. You say Halel, and you say the Haggadah V'gad to Levincha, while the matzah is there in front of you. That's the definition of Lechem Oni. This Rashi is very important, because Rashi seems to indicate that Halel is a din de'araisa. Because he's explaining, what does the pasuk lechem oni mean? He says, oh, devarim shomer olav harbe, and the example he gives is gomrim olav as a halel. It's not so pasha that halel is de'araisa. There's a machlokas Rambam Ravid and Ramban. Rambam writes, I don't remember exactly, he calls it, he brings a source, divrei sofrim, Ravid there argues about the source, and the Ramban says in the Sefer Mitzvot, he says something about this also, about different types of halels are deraisa, other ones are not. It's a din in simcha. There's a larger discussion about the status of halel, whether it's a deraisa, derabanan, derei sofrim, which types of halels. We're going to come across many of these later on in Pesachim. There's a halel you say when you bring the Karban Pesach. There's a halel you say the night when you're eating the Pesach. There's a halel you say on the Yontif. It's a larger discussion. Either way, they point to this Rashi that seems to indicate it's a din deraisa. That's all according to Rashi's explanation, that you say these things, the Halel and the Haggadah. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, however, Rabbeinu Chananel argues in Rashi, and he says, let's see, where can we find this? Where did this go? In mine, it's the first wide line, but I don't think everyone has that same gear set. So I have mine bold, the Shaninon, Had Aser Matzah, no, that's the wrong one. Yeah. Had the Asr Matzah Shir B'Yom Tov Rishon Bavad Bizman She'onim Acher Dvarim. V'hein, what are the things you say? V'hein Ha'agada She'amar Matzah Zu She'anu Ochlin Ashumma Ashumin V'chule. That line that the Mishnah at the end of Pesachim tells us that the sin, when you have matzah, you have to say, why do I have matzah? I have matzah for the following reason. Maror al Shema, I have maror for this following reason. Pesach mishema, I have Pesach for this following reason. He says that's what you have to say. You have to say dafka, those three things that Rabbi Gamliel says you have to say, those three things have to be said on the matzah. Nothing to do with the Haggadah, nothing to do with the Hallel, those specific three things. That's Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. And that's really, really Machlokas Rishonim, whether these things are din in the matzah or matzah is really din in these things. Okay. Says the Gemara, V'sava Rabbi Kiva Isa Shenilosh B'yayim V'shem D'vashalo. Does Rabbi Kiva really say that something that was kneaded with wine or oil or honey really does not work for matzah? V'hatanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Ein Lashon Isa B'pesach B'yayim V'shem D'vash. One cannot knead with those three, any of those three liquids. Vim Lash, if you do it, Rabbi Gamliel Omer Tisaref Miyad. You have to burn it right away because it's very, it's almost chametz. V'chacham Omerim Yecha, you're allowed to eat it. V'am Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said, Shavsi Eitzel Haisi Eitzel Rabbi Elzer Rabbi Shua. At one time was next to them, I was with them on a Pesach. V'lashti Lahem Yisin, I was kneading dough for them. V'yayin V'shem V'dvash, I was using wine, oil, and honey, all three of them actually. V'lo Omer Lidavar, they never said anything to me. So Rabbi Kiva here did this. He kneaded with what he said before was Aser. Here he actually did do it. And it was never, he was never told it was wrong. V'afa Pish Ein Lashin, even though you're not allowed to be Lashin, you can't knead it. Now the Brisa does this sometimes. That line is out of place. It really should go back to the Tanakama. Tanakama that says, even though lichadchila one is not supposed to knead with the wine, oil, and honey, you are allowed to be mekatfin bo. Mekatfin means, Rashi says, tochin panel la'acha richasa. You're allowed to smear oil or honey or wine on the outside, like we do with the eggs on the outside of the challah after you've braided the challah. You're allowed to do the same thing here with the matzah. Even though you can't knead it with the oil, you could smear with the oil outside. Now that's an isolated statement, should go back to the Tanna Kamma. We're more concerned with Rabbi Akiva. So we have Rabbi Gamliel who says burn it. We have Chachamim who say eat it. And then we have the story of Rabbi Akiva. And then the Gemara goes back and says, the Chachamim omrim es shaloshin bo mekatvin bo vesh ein loshin bo vein mekatvin bo. He says no. Anything you're allowed to knead with, you can knead with the oil, you can knead with the honey, according to Chachamim. You're also certainly allowed to smear it on the outside. But that which you cannot knead with, whatever falls under that category, then you couldn't be able to smear. He doesn't distinguish between the two. Kneading and smearing would be the same exact thing, as opposed to the first opinion said, no, you can, even though you can't knead with those two things, you can still smear the outside with them. V'shavin, and they're both in agreement, she'ain lashin es ha'isa b'poshin. But everybody agrees you can't use warm water for the kneading. So either way, what comes out of this braisa, the different details of kneading and not kneading, clearly Rabbi Kiva says you can use olive oil, honey, and wine for kneading, even though before we said Rabbi Kiva says you cannot. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference. Lo kasha ha b'yom tov rishon ha b'yom tov sheni. There's a difference. So what's the difference, says Rashi? Yom rishon laila harishon she matzah chova ba'inan lechem, only the first night where there's a mitzvah, chovas lechem matzah, then you cannot. After that, you're allowed to use it. Because according to this Gemara in Rashi, matzah shira, which is this case, is not a problem of chametz. It's not chametz, as we said, we spoke about this yesterday. It's not matzah shira, it's not chametz. It's just not lechem oni. You need lechem oni, according to Rabbi Kiva. So that's why you don't use it the first night. But the rest of the week, you're allowed to use it. Now, there are other Rishonim who interpret it differently. They said the entire week of Pesach, you actually cannot use matzah shira, as we discussed yesterday, because based on a Rambam. The Gemara says, "Kedamar lehu Rabbi Yeshua livnei." Rabbi Yeshua said to his children, "I think it's Yeshua ben Levi." I'm assuming, right? Is it? Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We find a number of places, especially in Gemara Brachos. I remember he gave a lot of advice to his children. So here you see this relationship. He always gave advice to his children. So Yom Kama, the first day of Pesach, he says, "Lo talushul bechalva." Don't knead it with milk. Mikan ve'elech lushi li b'chalva. From here on in, you're allowed to use it with milk. Talking about Pesach again, just like you can't use yayin, you can't use shemen, you can't use dvash, also you can't use chalav to knead the dough, because that's considered matzah shira and can't be used for the first night, but the remaining nights you can use it. So the Gemara now goes on a side point. In general, it says the rice has nothing to do with Pesach. In general, you are not allowed to use milk to knead your bread. And if you were to knead your dough with milk, the whole entire thing is asur because of hergel avera, which means what? Says Rashi. Ein loshin isa b'chalav koli motashana, the entire year, shel yocha basima, because you might eat basa b'chalav. People have bread all the time, and they're going to have bread and accidentally have it with a piece of meat, and not realizing the bread was milk. So they said all bread has to be parv. The whole same holds true. You can't make it into a meat bread either. So how could you allow you to, in general, how could you allow kneading with milk? So says the Gemara, Elahachi kamar. He wasn't talking about chalav, wasn't talking about milk, he was actually talking about honey. So he says, the first night, don't use honey at Pesach, but the remaining nights of Pesach, you can use honey. Alternatively, this is very halach lamaisa, this is not last answer. Liolim b'chalva kedama ravina ke'ayin Torah shari hochanami ke'ayin Torah. So no, you are allowed to make a dairy bread if it's ke'ayin Torah, which means the size of the eye of an ox, according to Rashi. Rashi is ke'ayin Torah. Rashi is me'at, very small, ke'ayin shel shor, very small, I guess they have small eyes, mutu lalush b'chalov, that you are allowed to knead in milk. So you can have small little bread bowls, I guess, made of milk. The achle miyad b'bas achas, you eat them right away. You're not going to leave them over. V'lo mashile the lisha shenilish b'chalov. You're not going to end up leaving it over. You know it's there, you eat it, and you won't come to eat it with a meat meal. They're not concerned, because, of course, you're allowed to have milk before meat. You don't have to wait at all. Just a few moments. Clean your mouth out. But the concern was eating them together. So since they have these little small, maybe zeppelis, if anyone goes to pizza pie, those type of zeppelis, like a small thing like that, you eat them quickly and they're gone. So that is permitted. Riff has a different explanation, a different definition of what does it mean, ka'ayin tura. He doesn't refer to the size, but rather to the shape, the appearance. It looks like a horn of an ox. It serves as a hecker, a reminder, wait a second, this shape, that must be dairy. I can't eat it with the meat. It serves as a reminder. The Shulchan Aruch brings down both. Either one would work as a heter. You are allowed to make a dairy-based bread if it is small or if it is shaped some tzura that would remind you not to have it with meat.
When we say small, it has to be at least the shear of a pizayis or a kaveya, because otherwise, what's the whole discussion here about being yotzir mitzvah matzah? How small are we talking?
Right, so I'm not sure, I don't know the shirim how, but you're probably right, it has to be at least the kazais, would my guess, which is not very big anyways, it's much smaller than a normal loaf of bread, so I don't think it's so problematic, but it comes up by English muffins, let's say, English muffins are, I think, OUD, right?
Right.
So that's, I remember, Rasablowski once spoke about it, I'm guessing since it has the OUD, the D there, that serves as a reminder to, that's the hecker.
That's okay, it looks like, because it looks like it's different. Not maybe like that a regular piece of bread.
Maybe that's just also, it could be that's...
My regular piece of bread are sliced breads, not round.
I just wonder though, let's say is that the only reason why they gave the hashgacha? Because it happens to be English muffins were made in a different shape? I mean, it wasn't made to be a kosher item, I imagine, at first. It was made to be an item. And they wanted a hashgacha. They said, wait a second, let's look. Oh, it looks a little bit different. Let's give it the hashgacha. I just wonder if it happens to look different, if that's the heter. But let's say it was a real bread that looked like bread and was dairy. Would they not?
They wouldn't give it.
They wouldn't give it?
No, they don't give it to regular bread.
Uh-huh, okay.
It looks like bread.
Oh, so that's the reason, okay. Yeah. So it's based on this sugya here. Okay. Says the Gemara. Vishavin, Nishain, Lashin, and Sa'isa, Biposhin. And everyone's in agreement. We had a whole machlokes above. Are you allowed to knead with honey or oil or not? Rabbi Gamliel says you can't. You have to burn it. Chacham said no, you're allowed to eat it. But when it came to using warm water, everybody was in agreement that you cannot knead the bread. So why is that different than menachos? Menachos, we're going to see in a moment that you can use warm water for menachos. The Tana, the Mishnah says, call menachos niloshes bepotion. All the menachos were used were kneaded with warmer water. And they watched over them to make sure to ensure that it wasn't going to be chametz. Im Amru Sigmar says, Im Amru Bezrizim, Yomru Beshein Zrizim. If you tell me that Zrizim, the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash were, of course, Zrizim, the Gemara says in a few places, I think, Pesachim itself, if they were Zrizim, so they're allowed to watch over it. You're going to tell me when it came to a regular person in his house, who a person in general is not Zariz, we're going to trust him to put warm water and to make sure it doesn't become Chametz? No, we can't trust him, he's so busy. Only the Kohanim, where Zrizim, we could trust to use warm water. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, if the Kohanim are such Zrizim, Milsas Nami Losis, you should also be allowed to, what the Rashi, I think, defines this, as Kishamevi Hazar Kvar, Oh, yeah, that's the answer. Lisisa above, l'shorin b'mayma, let it soak in water a little bit, u'l'koshan b'machteshesh l'hasim morsin, they'd soak it, then they'd grind it, crush it a little bit to remove some of the shells of the grains, k'dei sh'tei salatas nikiya, you have a nice cleaner piece of a type of a flour. So if that's the case, they should have allowed them to soak in water first. Alama Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rabbi Bar Yirmiya, Amar Shmuel, why does it say, chitin shamunachos, the wheat used for menachos in Beis HaMikdash, ain losus in osa. You're not allowed to soak it in warm water. But why not? If there's such a reason, you should allow them to soak it in the water, and they're still going to make sure, and then knead it in warm water, and the Kohen will make sure it won't turn into a chametz. The Gemara says, Lisha bizrizim isa. Lisisa less of his reason. Lisha, the Kohen would actually do the kneading. The Lisisa was not done by his reason. Rashi says, Lisisa less of his reason, Kishimavia Hazar Kfar Husisolas. The Tzar would bring it in the state of being flour already. The Tzar were the ones who did the Lisisa. That's why they didn't allow Lisisa to take place in Menachos. So Gemara says, Lisha Miisa Bizrizim. Does the kneading really take place by this reason? The Kohanim don't do the Lisha, if you look. It's the Tzar who also does the Lisha, the kneading. The Haksiv, doesn't the Pasuk tell us, V'yotik aleh shemen, V'yavia al-Kohen, that the person would place the oil on top of the flour for the Menachos in the Beis HaMikdash, and then he would give it to the Kohen. Mikimitza ve'elech mitzvahs kuhan akuna. But what's kmitza? After you have the flour, after you pour the oil and the flour for the Menachos, then the Kohen would come along, do the kmitza with his three fingers, and clean the top and the bottom off of it, and he'd take that kmitza and bring it to the into the pan. So only from that point on, the kmitza was done by the Kohen. Prior to that, the preparations of the flour and even placing the oil was all done by a Tzar, or can be done by a non-Kohen. So we see that mikmitza ve'elech mitzvahs kuna limeid al yitzika ubelila, the pouring of the oil, belila, and the mixing of the oil, shik sheir b'chol adam. And the pouring of the oil included, of course, the kneading, the belila, there was the kneading that was can be done by any person. So why do we allow Lisha, why do you allow it to be kneading with warm water if the Kohen's not doing it? Only the Kohen has reason, not the Cholam. Says the Gemara, Lisha nehid b'zrizim lesa, you're right. Kneading is not done by this reason, however, b'mokum b'zrizim isa. They are done in the place, they're done in the Azara. And Rashi points out, we won't read inside now, but Rashi points out that the Kohen are going to make sure that it's not going to turn to the Chametz. Even though the Tzar is the one doing the actual kneading, the Kohen's going to oversee what's going on. And Amar Mar, Belila Ksher Bazar, that it was stated that Belila, the mixing up, the kneading, is permitted with the Tzar. Chutz Lechomas Azara, Psula. Outside the walls of the Tzar was possible. Since the Tzar is allowed to do it, we do not allow him to do the Belila outside the Tzar. Has to take place within the Azara. This way the Kohanim could oversee what's going on. This is all Lafuke Lisisa coming to Ksu Lisisa, which again was soaking the grains of wheat in water to allow the pieces of the shells to fall off. The Ainab is reason, and also the Lo B'malkum is reason. That Lisisa was done by non-Kohanim, and it was also done outside the place of this reason. It was done outside the Azara, no one there to supervise. That's why Lisisa was not permitted. So when it comes to Minchas Omer, actually the Brisa says you are allowed to loses in. You can soak it in water beforehand to help the shells fall off. Why is that permitted? The Gemara says, Sibur Shiny. When it comes to Sibur, it's different. Rashi says, Sibur Shiny, the first wide line all the way on the bottom, Minchas Omer. See that? Sibur Shiny?
It was Sovim also mean.
So they would make a pile of it. So minchas omer carbon tzibarhi v'chol iskin shelah nasan al pi bezdin. They are done on bezdin. I think it's even aide shliach bezdin. I think as well. So therefore the tzirasa v'hivoha shelah l'sisasa hakol bezdin b'zrizinhu. All the different stages of preparing the minchas omer was done al pi bezdin. I think even again aide shliach bezdin, and therefore there is no concern. It's as if it was done b'makom b'zrizin, since it's supervised by bezdin itself. That's why Lisisa is permitted by Minchas Omer. Okay, now the Gemara goes on to talk about further brisim relating to what was allowed to be used for a matzah. Taner Rabbanan. Yachal yotzei adam yidei chavasa bibikurim. One might think you can be yotzei matzah using bikurim. The bikurim, of course, are the first fruit of the season of only which fruit? The shivas aminim. The shivas aminim, any of the shivas aminim, which are the first fruit of the year, are bikurim. They brought the base of Migdash. And one might think you can be yotzei with bikurim. Tamalomer bechol moshva seichem tochlu matzos Matzah nechlas b'chol mosh v'seichem yatzu b'kurum she'en nechlam b'chol mosh v'seichem. Elo b'yishlaim divrei Rabbi Yosi. One of the criteria of using matzah, of which types of food to use for matzah, has to be something that can be eaten in all places, b'chol mosh v'seichem. But b'kurum can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, therefore it doesn't work. It's not b'chol mosh v'seichem, it's exempt. We spoke yesterday, what about shuman chal? We mentioned that question that Rishon asked. Shuman chal can be eaten anywhere except for base kvaros. So it can't be eaten in base kvaros. It's not b'chol mosh v'seichem. You're not allowed to use it. So the number of answers we're giving, we spoke about yesterday. One of them being that b'chol mosh v'seichem means that it has to be in a place of dwelling. Basic kvaros is not considered basic b'chol mosh v'seichem, not a place of dwelling. Therefore, it's not included.
So
it's not excluded,
saying
bikurim
can't be used for what? For matzahs?
Exactly. Because since you can't eat b'chol mosh v'seichem, you can't eat it in all your dwelling places, only in Yerushalayim.
You can't mix it with the dough. Yes, that's what you mean.
Well, no. Shiva Samin will also be the grains, even the wheat and the barley. You made extra the matzah with bikurim wheat.
You make bikurim wheat? Oh, wheat?
Yeah,
all. That's the Shiva Samin.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to bring your first of your wheat?
Yeah.
Also?
Mm-hmm. All the Shiva Samin.
I was thinking about only fruit.
Yeah. We always think of fruit.
Right.
Yeah. Like you bring like grains, you know, barley and wheat, but yeah, even those are included in the bikurim.
Or the Gemara said by Meister Shani, Gemara didn't bring the Chomash V'Sechem, just doing it on me.
Right. So the Chomash V'Sechem, they asked this question, why not Meister Shani? Meister Shani can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So I think some say, since you can be poda, Meister Shani, you could poda the fruit, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and then that allows the fruit to be eaten anywhere you want. So that potential exists for Meister Shani, but Bikurim, there's no way out of it. It has to, and it can only be brought to be eaten in Yerushalayim.
So how do we use that? How do we use the wheat for matzah, then, understand?
You have my first, the first season, the season starts, and then my first grains of wheat grow, and I cut them up, and make it into some matzah, bring it to Yerushalayim to eat. First night of Pesach, can I be yotei my matzah with his bikurim of chita? Mar says, I can't, because b'chol mosher seichem, only food that can be eaten, in theory, anywhere you want. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglui. Rabbi Kiva Omer, matzah mar, pasuk has a hakesh between matzah and mar. Ma mar she'ena bikurim, af matzah she'ena bikurim. No. Mar comes from vegetables. Bikurim does not apply to vegetables. It only applies to the shivas aminim, none of which are vegetables. So just like mar is not one of the bikurim, so too matzah can't come from any of the bikurim. So ima mara shein b'mino bikurim, af matzah shein b'mino bikurim. So in that case, you should say, just like mara, there's no min of mara, which is bikurim. The vegetables, the lettuce, anything you use is not bikurim. So to any min, which includes a chit and sora, cannot be used for matzah in general. Lav dafka, actual bikurim, but any min that can become bikurim. Says the Gemara, Otzi chit and v'sorin. I'm going to exclude chit and v'sorin. Sheyesh b'min and bikurim. So according to this hekesh, just like mara doesn't have a min that can potentially become bikurim, so also I should exclude matzah. Any min that can become bikurim shouldn't work, and therefore you couldn't use chit and v'sorin. So that's how the kasha according to Rabbi Kiva. Tamid lomar matzos riba. No, Rabbi Kiva responds. No, the pasuk also says matzos. More inclusive, we're coming to include more cases. Therefore, we say, Rabbi Kiva says as follows: it comes to include all minim can be used for matzah, but the Hekesh Shemar tells me that if it happens to be chita that was used for bikurim, then it can't be used. So again, the min of chita can be used, but if the chita that's dafka bikurim this season, it happens to be my first fruits of the season, that bikurim cannot be used, but the min of chita can be used. Now, there's a very interesting Tosos here that says, that top line. Otsi chitin v'sorin sheyesh b'minim bikurim, ikalameimar imkein notsi kol chamesh z'minim. According to this, you should exclude all the five minim sheyesh b'minim bikurim danu lechem ba'inan demamitan le'el or isvedochen. So Tosis has his kasha, and Tosis' assumptions as follows, and there's a big machlokas how to understand in a different girsan. What foods are subject to shivasa to bikurim? The shivasa minim. So shivasa minim would be chit and sor, would be the only grains. What about spelt and oats and rye we spoke of yesterday? Tosa says all five deganim are subject to bikurim. Even spelt, they're not one of the shivas aminim. Oats, rye, that's what comes out of Tosas. Mashal is a different girsa here.
It is part of the shivas aminim.
Oats, spelt, and rye are not part of the shivas aminim.
So
that's the kasha. So some say, remember the brisa yesterday brought this categorization of the different five grains. That being said, that
it's considered a chita.
Exactly, spelt with a kind of chita, and rye and oats were a type of sora. So they actually are part of the Sheves Amin, and that's how some explain this Tosfos. Others say no, there's a different gears in Tosfos, and in fact, spelt rye and oat are not subject to bikurim. So that's an interesting machlokas about bikurim.
Tosfos kashas according to the Solomon, this is kashas, so there wouldn't be anything you could be yotzir mitzvah matzah.
Which would be crazy, of course, right? So the Gemara says, two lines down, E matzos, oh wow, we're running out of time. E matzos, matzos riba. If Rabbi Kiva says matzos, matzos riba, the word matzos comes to include many types of matzos, I feel bikurim nami. He should even be able to include all bikurim, even if it actually is bikurim. Let it include all everything under the sun. So how did Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva was chozer. Tanya yachol yotze adam dei chavas be bikurim. One might think you can be yotze matzah with bikurim. Tamalomer bechol moshe seichem tochlu matos matzah nechelas bechol moshros yotze bikurim sheinam nechelam bechol moshros el bishalayim. Like we said above, yachol shani motzi af ma'aser sheni. Maybe one should exclude this. Your question. Maybe ma'aser sheni also shouldn't be eaten, which shouldn't be used, since ma'aser sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim only. Tamalomer, matzos, matzos riba, the word matzos comes to include ma'aser sheni. So Gemara asks, Mara Yisrael, Rabos, ma'aser sheni, v'lohotzi bikurim. Why am I, on one hand, including ma'aser sheni, which can only be in Yerushalayim, but I'm excluding bikurim, which can only be in Yerushalayim also? It seems to be the same halacha. Says the Gemara, Ma'ar ba'ani ma'aser sheni, sheyesh lo heter b'chol moshvos, kiderbel Eliezer. It has a heter to be eaten anywhere else, like Rabbi Elazar says. We'll see in a second, Rabbi Elazar. But bikurim never has any heter, it can only be in Yerushalayim. When does Ma'aser Sheni have a heter to be eaten outside of Yerushalayim? The Amar Belazar, Minayin L'Ma'aser Sheni, Shenitma, Shepotin, Osafil, Yerushalayim. How do I know? I have Ma'aser Sheni, I brought to Yerushalayim, and the fruits of this Ma'aser Sheni became Tameh. How do I know I'm allowed to be Podeh? Normally you cannot be Podeh inside Yerushalayim. Ma'aser Sheni, I have. Outside of Yerushalayim, I can be poded onto money and bring the money. But once I step into the walls of Yerushalayim, I can no longer be poded. There's an issue to be poded. But if the fruits become tame, I can be poded. How do I know I'm allowed to be poded if it becomes tame even in Yerushalayim? Tamalomer kilo suchal se'eso. I can't se'eso. What does se'eso mean? The ain says ela achila shenem avayisim se'es meis panov. It brings a pasuk from Yosef, I believe, it's talking about, right? Mm. So se'es means food. So kilo suchal se'eso. I cannot eat it. So I cannot eat it. Then there's a heter based on the pasuk. You're allowed to be poded when you can no longer eat it when it's tame. And therefore, in such a case, you could be eating my Sheni even outside Yerushalayim, since there exists such a heter to eat ma'aser sheni b'chol moshvos, then therefore we included it to be used for matzah. Says the Gemara, man shmasle damer b'ma'aser sheni nafik bay. Who's a person that says you can be a yotze with ma'aser sheni?
I thought we just said it wasn't. No? We just said it reported.
See, Rashi says man shmasle Rabbi Kiva. So first the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva. It is. So, wait, no. Why are we saying Rabbi Kiva here?
Because, again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said by Ma'aser Sheni that there's a mir because of Oni Aninas.
Oh, very good. It goes back to that one. Okay, very good. So, who allowed you to use Ma'aser Sheni? The previous page, earlier up, as Machlok is whether you can use Ma'aser Sheni. Very good. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you cannot be Yotze with Ma'aser Sheni because Aninas. But Rabbi Kiva allowed you to be Yotze with Ma'aser Sheni. So Rabbi Kiva is the one who holds Ma'aser Sheni is permitted. But he used, how does he exclude Bikurim? He doesn't exclude Bikurim from initially what he said about the Kekesh of Matzah Marah. Rather, here, he's using the limud from Bichol Moshro Seichem, Shema Amina Hadabay. We see Rabbi Kiva is Choser. He does not, in the end, he does not use the limud of the Hekesh between Matzah Marah. Rather, he agrees with Yosef Lili in regards to Bikurim. Why are Bikurim excluded? Because of Bichol Moshro Seichem. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Lili, Tepigle Melechem Oni. Mishenachal boni.
He comes out here that it's mutter to have it because he holds that matzahs is a ribui.
No, only ma'aser sheni, but not bikurim. That was the Gemara's conclusion. That on one hand, bikurim is excluded because of b'chol moshe seichem. On the other hand, ma'aser sheni is included because of matzahs riba. So bikurim are excluded, ma'aser sheni are included. So now Gemara asks, according to Yosef Glili, tape glei melechem oni. So why does Rabbi Yosef Glili need a new chiddush, a new gzeir sakasim to exclude bikurim? Because of b'chol moshe seichem. Rabbi Yosef Glili in the previous page said lechem oni means you exclude ma'aser sheni because of lechem oni. Also, one should exclude Bikurim, because Bikurim also has to be eaten b'simcha. Says the Gemara, Savralak Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Bikurim Asurim Leonin, V'Rabbi Shimon Matir. Macholkes, actually, when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni, so everybody agrees that it has to be eaten b'simcha, the Pasuk explicitly says Lo Achalti Be'onim. But Bikurim, there's no Pasuk, so it ends up being Macholkes. He holds like Rabbi Shimon, who permits you to eat it when you're not in Simcha. My time of the Rabban, why the Rabbanon say it's Aser to eat Bikurim in the state of Aninus? D'chsev lo sucha lechol b'sharecha, you can't eat in your gates. V'amar mar trumas yadcha, elu Bikurim, and that refers to Bikurim. In the context of talking about Meiser, it mentions, it has a reference to Bikurim. D'chsev Bikurim the Meiser, and we have the Hekish now. Ma Meiser Aser le'onin, af Bikurim Aser le'onin. Just like we find the Meiser's onin is Aser ben onin explicitly, through the Hekish we can apply the same Iser Aninus to Bikurim. Rabbi Shimon truma krina bet rachmana. The pasuk refers to bikurim as a truma. Kitruma ma truma muteris leonin af bikurim muter leonin. Just like we find truma can be eaten by an onin, so the bikurim can be eaten by an onin. So what comes out is they're arguing how to categorize bikurim. Is bikurim more categorized like meiser, or is it more categorized like truma? Nafkamina being aninus.
What does he do with lo chalti beonin?
Lo chalti beonin is talking about meiser. So the question is Navida Meiser and then a Kriyas Bikurim. Mikra Bikurim rather, it's called. Mikra Bikurim, we do not say Lo Chalti Be'oni. It's a different nusach. The beginning of Kisavo has both statements, but we don't say Lo Chalti Be'oni by Bikurim. So it ends up being Machlokas, how to categorize Bikurim. Is it more closely linked to Meiser or is it more closely linked to Truma? The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon says, who permitted an onin to eat bikurim, he says, Nehid the hekesh le, Nehid the hekesh, even though there's a hekesh, less le simcha, miya michtav ksiva behu. So Rabbi Shimon, let's see that again, sorry.
Nehid hekesh less le.
Nehid hekesh less le, even though Rabbi Shimon doesn't have a hekesh, simcha, or Rabbi Shimon has matir, simcha miya michtav ksiva behu, it still says simcha, v'samachta b'cholatov, it says, even it's a kasha. Even though Rabbi Shimon doesn't have a hekesh, he does not connect Bikurim to Meiser, and therefore he doesn't require it to be B'stei of Simcha. Okay, but still, doesn't it say explicitly in the Pasuk that the Bikurim has to be eaten in the state of Simcha? Forget the hekesh to Meiser. Okay, fine. But it still says that you have to eat Bikurim B'Simcha, which seems to exclude an onin. An onin cannot eat Bikurim. Why does Rabbi Shimon permit an onin to eat Bikurim? Doesn't the Pasuk say that Samachta B'chol Atov? Says the Gemara, Hahu l'zman simcha hu dasa. It doesn't talk about the state of the person eating it. It talks about the time that you find yourselves in. You have to be b'zman simcha. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Ma'atzeres v'arachag mevi v'kori. From the times of Shavuos up until Sukkot, you're supposed to bring the Bikurim and do the Mikra Bikurim. Me'achag v'achanukah mevi v'enukori. But from Sukkot to Chanukah, you still bring Bikurim, but you don't say the Mikra Bikurim. Explains Rashi, Zman simcha. He says, "Bizman k'tzir v'lakita sh'adam lokeb tuvasa v'libo sameach." The time he's harvesting all the stuff, he's very excited. He worked all year long. He planted, he plowed, he planted, he worked everything, and at the end, he finally sees the fruits of his labor. So he's very besimcha. That's this time period that happens between Atzeres and Chag. Rabbi Yochanan says something slightly different, a very small nuance. He seems to say the simcha has nothing to do with the gathering of the fruit. Rather, it has to do with the time, the simcha, the yom tovim that he finds yourself in. Small little dik, you might want to say, in Rabbeinu Chanano. Either way, that's Rabban Shimon who permits an onin to eat bikurim. Why does it say simcha in the pasuk regarding bikurim? That's a reference to the zman of bringing and the mikra bikurim.
All right, it's right after. First is bikurim, then
exactly.
It's chala matlaser, then it says lochalti.
Right, exactly. Okay. So says the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Lechem oni... What does lechem oni come to teach me? Prat lecholot v'lal shisha. Come to exclude is the saying of chashivas. And Ashisha Rashi says a gluska gedola, the very chashiv piece of bread. However, I don't know exactly. It's a loaf. That's a different size. The Gemara says, Yachol lo yotza adam yichavasa elo b'pas hadra. So once we exclude a nice chashiv, a loaf, those are excluded because lechem oni has to be a poor man's bread. Maybe a person could only use a pas hadra, the most inferior type of bread, a pas hadra, which Rashi explains is shenita kohadra. All its beauty was taken away. Dainu pas kivar, a very plain
bread. That's a brand.
Brand. Okay. So different types of breads. I'm not that familiar with them.
Brain matzah.
Okay.
Now they say it's good for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they make it with bran.
Okay. So on one hand, you can't use a very nice, rich type of bread. On the other hand, the Gemara says, therefore, maybe you should only be yotze with something very very inferior type of bread. Tamalomar, matzahs, mapatzahs, riba comes to include. So you can't use the most chashuv ones because of lechem only, but you don't have to necessarily use the most inferior type of bread. Vafilu ke matzahs shashlomah, even the matzahs shashlomah one's allowed to use. Which is Rashi says shashlomo shehaya meunag klomer solus nikiya, very clean, clear type of flour. So you can use a very nice type of flour, but just don't make it a nice large chashev loaf of matzah. We can't even talk of loaf as Ashkenazim. We don't know what a loaf means for matzah, but don't make it a chashev piece of matzah. And I might need some help here on this next few lines from the art scroll. The Gemara says my mashma. Dehai ashisha lishin de chashivasahu. How do I know ashisha, which is excluded from matzah, cannot be used? Well, how do I know it means that something chashiv? The chsiv quotes a pasuk vayichalik lechol ha'am lechol hamon Yisrael. They divided to the nation among all Yisrael. Lemeish vad isha leish chalas lechem achas. To the man they gave a piece of bread. Ve'eshbar echad, and one piece of eshbar. Not sure what that refers to. Vashisha achas. So clearly, I guess in the pasuk of Ashisha, they use the source to refer to Ashisha means a chash of a piece of bread here. That's the source. Bama Rav Chanan Bar Abba, Ashbar is Echad Mishisha Bepar, 1/6 of a cow. I don't know what references this is to. The Echad Mishisha Be'efa, it's a different particular type of shear. Ashbar is 1/6 in a par. Ashisha is Echad Mishisha Be'efa, 1/6 of an efa, the different measurement. Who pleaded the Shmuel? Shmuel argues, "Amar Shmuel, Ashisha garva dechamra dechsiv v'ave Ashisha anavim." Quotes a pasuk where Ashisha says, "Garva dechamra efa shel yain." They're all different measurements. I really don't know what it means in our language, but they bring these psukim to teach us ultimately that Ashisha means something chashiv, and then goes on to explain what the measurements mean. All
right. Harry, what do we get there?
Same thing, just different sizes of how much.
What's that word mean? Afshar.